then. And I don't have the agenda in front of me for this meeting either.
Sure, no problem. I've got that up on my screen. The only item on the agenda is for you to meet informally with Lieutenant Williams and with Division Chief Hams. So you can call the meeting to, I've got the meeting called to order at 12:26 p.m. and you can invite them to speak informally.
There you go. You heard the man. Hi, I'm Veronica. I'm gonna just start with my intro. I'm Veronica Figueroa, commissioner with Medicine Police and Fire. And I wear too many hats on the community, so welcome the two of you. And whichever like to start first and give us a little intro about yourselves and how things are going so far, whatever you like to share.
I'll start away, if that's all right with you, Chief Hamas. Good afternoon, and thanks for allowing me the opportunity to meet with you this afternoon. My name is Dan Williams. I have been a Madison Fire employee for about 29 years. Born and raised here in Madison at St. Mary's, and went to Madison West High School, University of Wisconsin-Madison. So I'm a Madisonian. I live in the city, near kind of nearby Tense Golf Course on the west side of Madison, and I grew up as a young child visiting Station 9 frequently, and all the crews there definitely knew me by name. It was a passion at a very young age, and that's a passion that's kind of stuck with me throughout my my entire life. I'm a very happy employee of this department, and I think one of my most memorable and fond things is I had the opportunity to ride the ambulance for over 20 years. And that's an accomplishment I'm very proud of, but it's also an accomplishment that allowed me to meet with so many people and obviously the patients we serve, but the hospital community, other community EMS and fire providers, law enforcement. And it was just a really, really good opportunity for me before I became a lieutenant. I currently work on Madison's west side at Station 2, a ladder truck where we have a station with a ladder and an ambulance. And we serve like the Westtown Mall area, Memorial High School, and a very geriatric community with Oakwood and All Saints and Attic Angels. And I enjoy working with the senior community. So it's a good fit for me. Again, I live in Madison. I have a wife and two kids, a junior and a freshman at Memorial High School. A couple dogs here at home. My free time, I love to get outside and hike and play in the water. Have a boat and love to go skiing with the kids and tubing and stuff like that on the Madison Lakes. Sometimes sneak up north to visit my parents in northern Wisconsin. My wife is a nurse by trade, and I guess there's something they always say that firefighters and nurses always end up together, so that just happened. I guess that's our introduction. What kind of questions can I answer? I'm not sure what this is supposed to sound like. Chief Carbon just said, hop on this meeting for me.
Veronica, I'll go with a question if I may.
I'm having a hard time unmuting myself. There we are. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay. I was just going to ask you, Lieutenant, as you now step into this division chief role, from your lieutenant role, what kind of challenges do you see as you step into this wider department-wide role? And do you know yet what your assignment will be for that?
It's my understanding my assignment will be the assignment currently handled by Chief Hamas, EMS training and logistics. I think that'll be a good fit for me. I have a passion on the EMS side of things. Not that I don't like fire and all the other opportunities, but I enjoy EMS. I enjoy EMS training. And I think that'll be a good fit as I step into this new role. Yeah, it is quite a transition. And to be honest, I'm an old dog on the department. I'm like the second most senior person in 311. And so I mean, I've got a great crew, a great station, and a good comfort zone. But what I don't have at work currently is that fire. I feel like I got more to give. I feel like I'm ready to serve in a different way and be a little more productive. My crew is fantastic. I don't have to do much leading to them. They're just really dialed in, and I like that. So in this new role, the challenges, obviously going from a straight 48-hour 24-hour shift, excuse me, work days to a more regular 8-hour days, and how that will change going to work a lot more, and being more in an administrative role than out in the field. I'm sure those are questions that every new DC is wondering how that's all going to look. But I've had a good taste of it the last couple of months. Commissioners, I've been assigned to a hybrid division or hybrid assignment schedule, where I've been teaching the Madison Police Department and the Madison Fire Department integrated together in how to respond to active shooter events. It's called active shooter incident management. So the last 2.5 months, I've been on the special hybrid schedule and spending most of my days on 8-hour shifts, teaching out at the Madison Police Training Center, as Madison fire crews rotate in and work with the Madison police officers and command staff. And it's been really, really rewarding. And the work schedule's kind of worked pretty good around the home front too. I was kind of wondering how that was going to be. And it's working out quite well. I think a lot of people, question, oh, what's he going to be like when he's a chief? What's he, is he going to, do a 180? Is he gonna, become one of those? And I brought this up in my interview for the Chiefs, and said, people know that I've always been a rule follower. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. I don't cut corners. I'm a rule follower, so I don't cut people a lot of slack. So when it comes to becoming a chief, I just plan to continue being myself, and I think people expect that of me. So I'm hoping there's not a lot of big changes or anything like that. They should be seeing a pretty consistent face and a pretty consistent voice for me.
It sounds like your background will really, really help you with your assignment as well, with 20 years on the EMS service.
I've loved EMS. I think we make a really, really big improvement in our communities through EMS and great interaction with, the whole spectrum of patients. So it's a really powerful position that we're put in to take care of people on their worst day. And I really embrace that.
So what is your schedule going to be like now, you said?
It's a continuing kind of that hybrid schedule. The new division chiefs will work a 24-hour shift on the, sorry about that dog, but I'm losing him. Hold on a minute.
That's okay.
Well, all the times for the delivery guy to show up. So it's a 24-hour shift per week, and then 3 8-hour office days per week on average. It's kind of a confusing schedule that I really haven't figured out yet. Perhaps Chief Hines have a little more insight, but it's some kind of a rotation. But on average, it's 24-hour shift on the command car and 3 8-hour shifts in the office.
Okay. Kevin, do you have any questions?
Sure, I'll ask the typical one. What's your relationship with labor, specifically your experience with Local 311?
Sure. Thanks for the question. I did serve as a Local 311 e-board member for, don't quote me on it, I'm going to say about 5 years. I led the Local 311 EMS committee For a long time. I'm going to make a guess, 12 to 14 years. Worked cohesively, I would say, with administration, in trying to accomplish good equipment for the field and good protocols, and working with medical directors and physicians to, make sure that the field was well supported. I support Local 311. I support the union. I think they've really accomplished a lot for us, not only in, salary and wages and benefits and things like that, but a lot of safety measures with in the department, and unions nationwide, that I think we've really come a long way. I think the relationship between labor and admin is really important, and I support both sides very much.
What would you do to ensure it remains cohesive? Being management now.
Sure. I think a lot of stuff, honestly, comes down to communications and having communications back and forth with labor to say, hey, here's an idea that I have for this training or for this initiative, and in how is this going to impact you? What, how can we work together? I think coming at people blindsided is probably not the most successful way to move forward on things. So having the discussions with Local 311 leaders and Local 311 executive board, so we can work together, find common goals to move forward on initiatives that will benefit the city, will benefit MFD, and will benefit Local 311.
Any follow-up questions?
Yes, please.
Go ahead, Mindy.
I was just going to ask if, from an outsider looking in, it appears to me that the EMS training section has really kept the Madison Fire Department on the cutting edge of things. And I think that's evidenced by your recent award for cardiac saves, which, congratulations, that's an incredible thing. That being said, as you look forward to your new role, what do you see are the kind of areas that the training either needs to explore, or is that just, I mean, is it something, have you given thought to that yet? And what mark you want to leave in that section?
Sure. A few paths there. So thanks for the questions. It's right up my alley here, so thanks. I think our department does a really nice job across the board of managing patients. I see an area that we haven't really addressed so much since I've been on the department, and that's preparations for more large-scale incidents. And that's why I had such a passion for this active shooter incident management and active threat responses, and working together with other partners. So that was is one area. And this active shooter incident management that I've been training is, it's just the iceberg, the tip of it, I should say, that we're going to need a lot more touches, a lot more training, a lot more command training, to become fluent and proficient in how we're going to work together and how we're going to integrate. This has just kind of laid the foundation with some real preliminary tabletop exercises. I also am working on a project for just large-scale medical events. Maybe it's the school bus rollover. Maybe it's a bleacher collapse at the high school stadium, tornado in a neighborhood, things like that. I really don't think we as a department are as prepared as we could be, and I again have a passion to get us to that next level. The third thing that I, as you can tell, I have a passion for EMS, and I want to see more of that passion throughout the stations, and how to spread some of this energy that I have to energize people in the department to become passionate about EMS. So it's not just a job, that it's a true passion for them. And I have some ideas that I would like to follow up on. I know it'll take some permissions along the way, but I reflect back, and I'm not sure if you all recall Dr. Darren Bean. He was the med flight physician who was our fire department medical director, and his helicopter med flight crashed outside of La Crosse. At the time he was our medical director, it was a relatively short time, but he had such passion, and his passion was contagious. and spread throughout the stations. And you had people that really, as I used to say, don't even know how to spell EMS, talking about EMS at the coffee table. And he just had so much energy that he brought. And I would like to see some of that passion continue. I would like to really find a way to exemplify some of the great work that we do on a national level. I know we do great work in the city of Madison. I would like to get us published. I would like to do some research studies, working
Perfect.
with our medical direction, and maybe collaborate with a couple other like-sized departments and publish some papers and get some of our paramedics published and go to national conferences and give our presentations and give more and more energy back towards EMS. Because I think when you highlight and showcase other people, that just energizes them and the people they work with. And I just see kind of this pyramid effect, how we can continue to do great things. Because I know we do great things, like for example, the cardiac arrest achievement that we just had, and the great work we're doing through the cardiac arrest community, working with Seattle Fire Department, King County Resuscitation Academy. Our CARES numbers, we're doing great. And I just want to showcase that on a national level. And then there's some other ideas that I have on what those other avenues could be, but baby steps, right?
Thank you.
I one quick question about the active shooting training. You say you're working with the police department. Would that be something that would extend eventually to the school district?
Oh, thanks for the question. I just finalized a meeting, a training with the school district, and Gina, I'm sorry, I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name right now, from the school district. We're working with them on July 15th, a full day exercise where we're going to kind of showcase from a law enforcement and fire standpoint what the preliminary response looks like. And then it'll transition throughout the day into more of the school response with reunification of students and the importance of understanding each other's roles, how we can help each other in each other's roles to be most successful. So that is taking place on July 15th. We're going to have some planning meetings going into it, but it will include Madison Police, Madison Fire, Madison Emergency Management, Dane County Emergency Management, the 911 Center, the Sheriff's Office, school resource security, principals, and others. So it'll be a 30, 35 person attendee event that will really exercise and let people see where we have some training opportunities and some opportunities to continue to work on integration going forward.
Great, thank you. Any other questions?
I
No.
don't have any.
Well, thank you, Mr. Williams, for sharing with us and for the wonderful work that you're doing in the department. I'm looking forward to continuing to see what will come next under your leadership. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for the chance to meet with y'all. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Hems.
Good afternoon. It's Chris Hamas is my name here.
Hems, okay. Thank you.
So I can assume you guys, I spoke with a few of you last time in going to DC, but for those, I think there was a couple that were not on here as well. So just a brief background, very similar to Lieutenant Williams, actually. Just he's a lot older than I am, so hopefully he's still on here and heard that one. I got on this job in 2005. Came to Madison in 95, went to the college here, went to university, and I've never left, fell in love with this city and decided to raise a family here, married with two children here. Both of my kids go to West High right now. I've got a freshman and a junior there. Live on the near west side. Worked as a firefighter and firefighter paramedic for a number of years before being promoted to lieutenant. Actually, Lieutenant Williams was one of my partners on the ambulance. So we've worked side by side for a long time. We've also worked side by side on the EMS committee, served on that as committee chair for a number of years prior to being promoted to division chief. What else can I tell you? the firefighter nurse connection is true in my family as well. That's what my wife does at American Family Children's Hospital. So yeah, a fair number of similarities there. Division chief now for not too long. I think I was promoted in May of 2024, if I have my dates somewhat accurately remembered. But I've really grown to love this position and the different role and the dynamics of kind of behind the curtain of what truly makes the fire department run. We have one perception of what it is out in the field, but then truly when you come and see all of the ongoings that are occurring here on a day-to-day basis, it's been profoundly challenging, but in a good way. Challenging to keep you sharp, to keep you adaptable to what's going on out there with the field and with the community that we're serving. So been really looking forward to since being identified as the next assistant chief and taking Chief Stedman's role and learning that role and seeing the challenges that position has to offer, which I'm certain are many. Just to kind of follow up on the question that President Schaaf had to Lieutenant Williams, you know, the challenges I see in that role, truly don't know what all the challenges are yet. You don't know what you don't know, but my first blush at it and what I've been meeting with Chief Stedman here for the last several months and going over is the different level of agencies and contacts and coordination that needs to occur at that assistant chief level. And I'm looking forward to that challenge. And yeah, I'm ready for July 7th to get here.
Thank you. Yeah. Mary, any questions?
I was going to follow up. So I can't remember which role Chief Stedman was in. So which assignment, assistant chief assignment is that, please?
Yeah, no problem. So currently we title his assignment as assistant chief of EMS operations. And that's the way that Chief Carbon has decided to label our assistant chief positions. We have three assistant chief positions. One is assistant chief of personnel, well, assistant chief of fire operations, and then assistant chief of EMS operations. And that's the role that I'll be taking from Chief Stedman. Currently, I'm in EMS training and logistics. I took that position from Chief Carbon when he was promoted to fire chief. So it'll stay in the realm of EMS, which is as Lieutenant Williams kind of alluded to, it's our passion. It's a lot of what we do here. It's, you know, you look at the numbers, they vary, but high 70s percent of the calls that we go on are EMS calls. So it's a huge run of the workforce that we do out there. Our EMS division that we have has a number of staff, five staff over there right now that kind of the glue that keeps everything together as far as keeping our ambulances stocked, our equipment ready to go, our vehicles running. They do a lot of that work and assist with getting all the trainings that are need to be afforded out to our field. Anxious, very anxious to have Dan in this position as well. Just knowing him and the passion that he's the word that he brings to the role, I think is going to be infectious to our field and really look forward to kind of working side by side with him and taking the CMS division to an area where it may not have ever been before. It's really, we've seen a shift in the transition of kind of the emphasis of EMS in this department over the last probably 5, 6, 7 years of seeing a greater emphasis placed on the EMS side of things, which is truly an important side of things to do. As I alluded to, it's a big chunk of what we do. But not only just the call volume, I think what we really need to address also is the workforce that we're dealing with. You know, when Lieutenant Williams and I came on the job, and granted, we're still both paramedics, but you don't see paramedics often retiring from the ambulance anymore. We're not seeing the 15, 16, 20 year paramedics retirement. The volume of calls, well, it's a number of factors, but arguably the volume of calls is just not sustainable for a lot of people to maintain that paramedic status throughout the extent of their career. So it's really kind of learning to see what this workforce that we're getting in the front door right now, their different mindsets, their different wants, needs, what motivates them, and trying to find a good fit and how that goes into our department and make it actionable out in the field there into the community we serve. So that's the, I think another great challenge we have is really getting the Madison Fire Department to adapt to this workforce and the different types of calls that we're going on. As Dan alluded to as well, this active shooter training that has been a huge emphasis for us over the last year, the active threat component, that's something we never talked about when we came on this job, as far as being something that could happen in Madison, and it's quite evident that it is something that's happening near Madison and happened near Madison very recently. So it's getting everyone prepared for what potentially could happen in this changing dynamic of the society we're dealing with is one of the great challenges I think that we've been tasked to do and get the Madison Fire Department better prepared to respond. We're in a good spot right now. Don't get me wrong. I think we got a heck of a department and proud to wear this patch on my sleeve here and represent this department. But you know, if we just sit back and assume everything is okay, we're going to get passed by. And so we need to stay in the forefront of what's going on out there and with our workforce and try to continue to lead them into the right direction.
What is the turnover rate for EMS?
You know, mm-hmm. That's a tough question to really give you an exact answer to. But what I can tell you is just the perception. You would have a number of people that would be retiring as paramedics on an annual basis, and that has significantly gone down. We, in fact, you guys are probably well aware, we moved the AE promotional eligibility years from 5 to 7 years in order to be eligible for apparatus engineer, in part because we felt like we were losing a lot of the paramedics to the AE process earlier in their career, and we wanted to try to beef up the length of time that some of our paramedics would serve as medics frontline. I could run some numbers on that, Commissioner Figueroa, but so I don't really want to spitball an answer that's completely inaccurate, but I will mm-hmm. tell you that the trend has been you don't see people retiring as paramedics anymore as much as we used to.
Thank you. Kevin?
Yeah, what's your relationship with labor and your experience with labor, particularly Local 311?
Phenomenal. I mean, as I alluded to earlier, I served on the EMS committee as the chairperson for a number of years. And I think we've done some great things with that committee as an example. And the fact that we've implemented having chief officers present in some of these meetings, and in particular, I can attest to the EMS committee one, we found that working side by side with administration was just a more effective approach to getting things done. Whereas 311 may have been working on something in their wheelhouse, which if they didn't have any idea what was going on in the administrative side of things, they just could be spinning their wheels if they knew it was a non-starter or something that was going to conflict with the direction that administration was deciding to go. Through my experience with the EMS committee and working collaboratively with administration, getting the ship pointed in the right direction together, it's just been a more effective approach. And I think that still holds true in a lot of our committees now. And I feel like our approach as an administration to work collaboratively with 311 has been at the forefront of our success. And I'd be comfortable right now going and sitting at any 311 committee right now, not feeling like I was the outcast, even though I know we're on the other side of the fence. Feel like we could have an open dialogue with them and honest conversation with them and work together.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
As I was listening to your answer on the in some of the conversation, as you look to deal with the attrition in the EMS area, are there any kind of avenues that you and maybe you and the chief have discussed? Or I know it'll have impacts on your whole department. And as you see the workload actually continue to grow, so it's about two-thirds of your workload. What direction, or is there a certain direction or focus or strategy that you're looking at with any of that? That wasn't a very well-formed question. So
no, I think I totally got you, President Schaaf. I think One thing that we started actually just when I took this role, Chief Carbon and I came up with the concept, we called it a bullpen. And what we're seeing, and let me take a half step back, is what we're seeing is when we put in a request for personnel to go to paramedic school, we were not getting the number of applicants that we would have liked to seen that would be applying for paramedic school, whether for various reasons. Every fall, we attempt to send about 10 people to paramedic school. And when you only get two or three people that put their names in, and you know that the need for paramedics is there and is ever there, we need to fill the class. So what you end up looking at is, I'll just say, quote unquote, forcing someone to paramedic school, which is really never it's never a great place or position to be in if you're forced to do something that you may not want to do. Firm believer in a happy employee is going to be a productive employee and give you a good product. Well, the same holds true in that paramedic world. You got to want to have people that want to be there to do that job. So what we did is we implemented this bullpen philosophy in the sense that starting now on day one, when you come into this academy, fire academy, the front door of the fire department, in fact, I'll go out and meet with these new recruits here next week prior to their graduation. And we have them sign up for 3 out of the next 5 years of their career on the Madison Fire Department onto the paramedic bullpen. And what that means is of those years, they are potentially going to be brought in to be interviewed to go to paramedic school. We really wanted to change the mindset and the philosophy of people coming on this department to give them a heads up that it's not a, we expect you to go to paramedic school. This is a big chunk of the job out there. And want you to prepare mentally for going to paramedic school. And I believe Chief Carbon, even before he offers the final offer to people to get on the job, one of his last questions is, just know that we intend to send you to paramedic school. Do you still want this job? And he asks every single person that question now that he's hired. So we're trying to change the dynamic or the philosophy of when you apply to the Madison Fire Department, understanding that you will, you know, you're going to be expected to go to paramedic school instead of just thinking that it was something that you could avoid or not want to do. So just what we've seen in the last 2 years is a different mindset or different, just the chatter we hear from the newest members on the department of their talk of planning to go and when they're going and talking with their classmates and working together to maybe try to find some partners that they want to go to school with and make it more of a manageable experience. So kind of a long-winded way to answer your question there, President Schaaf, but it's really about getting people engaged into paramedicine earlier in their career in the hopes that, well, knowing that we may not keep them through the extent of their career as paramedics, but getting them that skill set. So should they go promote to apparatus engineer or lieutenant down the road, that they may retain those skill sets and have those skill sets so we can utilize them out on engines and ladders, even though they're not working frontline on the ambulance, which Lieutenant Williams can attest to that. When you're on a call there and you've got personnel that are trained as paramedics, even though they're not riding the ambulance that day, it makes that call immensely more efficient to have that skill set or that extra set of hands out there when you need it. So that's kind of our philosophy on that, is to get people started earlier in their career and hope that we can retain them as long as we can as paramedics with whatever pathway they should choose through the department.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
You guys stay busy last week during the storm?
You know, I just gave a briefing this morning on our call volume. We were 21% higher in call volume overall last week than we are in normal weeks. Typically, we're running about it was very busy during the storm. I think we had 230 some incidents in that 24-hour period, with a vast majority of them during that 6-8 hour window of storm and post storm with the wires down calls, to the point where we had every single apparatus that we had in the city on calls committed at one point, which isn't something that happens too often around the city here. So it definitely packs the system, but you know, we have we got layers of help that can back us up, and I think overall the department responded very well and mitigated things appropriately.
I'll just say that's why I was forgetful for today's meeting, because my power went down twice. Got power for 2 hours, and then the rest of the tree in my neighbor's yard fell. And then no one showed up for another day. And now my internet's out for another week. So I know MG&E was really busy, and they did a call out for other states to show up. So I know you guys must have been busy too. I actually had to watch the wire so the kids wouldn't go down the sidewalk and hit stuff. So
I think Lieutenant Williams was out for several days. I don't even know when you got back power, Dan.
Kevin, do you happen to live on Hempstead Road?
I happen to live near Whitney Way, Hammersley.
All right. Well, Hempstead's right. Yeah, I'm a block from you, and I was feeling your pain right with you.
I hear you.
So very good.
The cruise did great though, but
yeah, I'm on Westbury, just down the hill.
Yep.
I spent 10 hours without power, and I realized how spoiled I am. Because when you're in Puerto Rico, you almost have no power all the time. I go on vacation, it's probably out of my month of vacation is 2.5 weeks of no electricity. So here I am like, where is the electricity? 10 hours without power. That's all it took for me to lose my cool. So yeah. Well, thank you both so much. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. If we don't have any other questions, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I will second the motion then.
Okay. We have a first and a second. So this meeting is adjourned. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, commissioners. Have a great day.
We just need a vote, Veronica.
Yeah.
Oh, Veronica, sorry. Just need a vote.
I forgot. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Morning.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.